particolare.
Tisthato nija sasane. Tasya rajno mahabhaga.
రాజ్ఞో మహాభాగ
భగవాన్ భూత భావన
భగవాన్ భూత భావన
పరిదృశ్యతే విశ్వాత్మా
తిష్టతో నిజ శాసనే తస్య రాజ్ఞో మహాభాగ భగవాన్ భూత భావన పరిదృశ్యతి విశ్వాత్మా తిష్టతో నిజ శాసనే తస్య రాజ్ఞో మహాభాగ భగవాన్ భూత భావన పరిదృశ్యతి విశ్వాత్మా తిష్టతో నిజ శాసనే భగవాన్
సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్
సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్
భూత భావన
భూత భావన
గోస్ ది ఒరిజినల్ కాజ్ ద కాజ్ ఆఫ్ మానిఫెస్టేషన్
హూ ఇస్ ద ఒరిజినల్ కాజ్ ఆఫ్ ద కాజ్ ఆఫ్ మానిఫెస్టేషన్ పరిదృశ్యతి బికమ్ సాటిస్ఫైడ్ విశ్వాత్మ సూపర్ సోల్ తిష్టత నిజ శాసనే
ఇన్
హిస్ ఓన్ గవర్నింగ్ సిచ్యుయేషన్
So the king sees that the Supreme Personality of God is the original cause, the cause of manifestation, the super soul that everyone is worshipped, the Lord will be satisfied. For part of the fact that the government's duty is to see that the Supreme Personality of God is satisfied by the activities of the people as well as the activities of the government. There is no possibility of happiness if the government or citizenry has no idea of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God, is the original cause, the cause of manifestation, or they have no knowledge of. Bhuta Bhavana, who is Vishvatma, or the Super Soul, the soul of everyone's soul. The conclusion is that without engaging in devotional service, neither the citizen nor the government can be happy in any way. At the present moment, neither the king nor the governing body is interested in seeing that the people are engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, they are more interested in advancing the machinery of sense gratification. Consequently, they are becoming more and more implicated in the complex machinery of the spiritual laws of nature. People should be freed from the entanglement of the three modes of material nature, and the only process by which this is possible is surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is advised in Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, neither the government nor the people in general have any idea of this. They are simply interested in sense gratification and being happy in this life. The word nija sasane in its own governmental duty indicates that both the government and the citizens are responsible for the execution of Varnashram Dharma. Once the populace is situated in the Varnashram Dharma, there is every possibility of real life and prosperity, both in this world and the next. The Supreme Personality of God is worshipped by the great demigods, controllers of universal affairs, but he is satisfied and nothing is impossible to achieve. For this reason, all the demigods, presiding beings, planets, as well as the inhabitants of their planets, take great pleasure in offering all kinds of paraphernalia for its worship. Purport, all Vedic civilization is summarized in this verse. All living being entities, either on this planet or other planets, have to satisfy the Supreme Personality of God in their respective duties. When he is satisfied, all the essences of life automatically supply. The Vedic is also stated, Eko Bhavuna Vyobhidadati Kaman. From the Vedas, we understand that he is supplying everyone's necessities, and we can actually see that the lower animals, the birds and bees, have no business or profession, yet they are not dying for want of food. They are all living in nature's way, and they all have necessities of life provided, namely eating, sleeping, drinking, and defending. Human society, however, has artificially created a type of civilization which makes one forgetful of its relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Modern society even enables one to forget the Supreme Personality of God as grace and mercy. Consequently, modern civilized man is always unhappy and in need of things. People do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to approach Lord Vishnu and satisfy him. They have taken this materialistic way of life as everything and have become captivated by materialistic activities. Indeed, their leaders are always encouraging them to follow this path and the general populace. The laws of God are following their blind leaders down the path of unhappiness. In order to rectify this world situation, all people should be trained in Krishna consciousness and act in accordance with the Varnashram system. The state should also see that the people are engaged in satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the primary duty of the state. The Krishna conscious movement was started to convince the general populace to adopt the best process by which to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus solve all problems. Here, King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with the predominating deities, is the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices in all planets. The Supreme Lord is the sum total of the Vedas, the owner of everything, the ultimate goal of all austerity. Therefore, your country, which is engaged in performing various sacrifices for your elevation, indeed, you should always direct them towards the offering of sacrifices. When all the Brahmins engage in performing sacrifices in your kingdom, all the demigods who are planetary expansions of the Lord will be very much satisfied by their activities and will give you your desired result. Therefore, O hero, do not stop the sacrificial performances. If you stop them, you will disrespect the demigods. King Vena replied, you are not at all experienced. It is very much regrettable that you are maintaining something which is not religious and are accepting it as religious. Indeed, I think you are giving up your real husband who maintains and are searching after some paramilitary worship. Purport, King Vena was so foolish that he accused the saintly sages of being inexperienced, like small children. In other words, he was accusing them of not having perfect knowledge. In this way, he could reject their advice and make accusations against them, comparing them to a woman who does not care for her husband, who maintains her, but goes to satisfy a paramour who does not maintain her. The purpose of the simile is apparent. It is the duty of the Kshatriya to engage the Brahmins in different types of religious activities, and the king is supposed to be the maintainer of the Brahmins. If the Brahmins do not worship the king but instead go to the demigods, they are as polluted as unchaste women. Those who, out of gross ignorance, do not worship the king, who is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, experience happiness neither in this world nor in the world after death. You are so much devoted to the demigods, but who were they? Indeed, your affection for these demigods is exactly like the affection of an unchaste woman who neglects her married life and gives all attention to her paramour. Okay. Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Indra, Vayu, the master of the air, Yama, the superintendent of death, the sun god, the director of rainfall, Kubera, the treasurer, the moon god, the predominating deity, the earth, Agni, the fire god, Varuna, the lord of the waters, and all others who are great and competent to bestow benedictions or to curse, all abide in the body of the king. For this reason, the king is known as the reservoir of all demigods, who are simply parts and parcels of the king's body. Purport, there are many demons who think themselves as the supreme and present themselves as the directors of the sun, moon, and other planets. This is all due to false pride. Similarly, King Vena developed the demonic mentality and presented himself as the supreme personality of Godhead. Such demons are numerous in this age of Kali, and all of them are condemned by the great sages and saintly persons. King Vena continued, for this reason, O Brahmins, you should abandon your envy of me, and by your ritualistic activities, you should worship me and offer me all paraphernalia. If you are intelligent, you should know that there's no personality superior to me who can accept the personal oblations of all sacrifices. Purport, as stated by Krishna himself through a Bhagavad Gita, there's no truth of spirit to him. King Vena was imitating the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was also speaking out of false pride, presenting himself as the Supreme Lord. These are all characteristics of demonic persona. Translation of Noble One, if the king sees the Supreme Personality of God as the original cause of causal manifestations, super souls and everyone who worship, the Lord will be satisfied. So the Brahmanas gave good advice and told King Vena to carry out the sacrifices in which the Supreme Lord is worshipped. And if the Supreme Lord is satisfied, everybody is satisfied, including the king. And in this way, the king will flourish. Everything is possible when the Supreme Lord is satisfied. So, in this way, they manage to glorify the Supreme Lord as the cause of everything, and therefore one should worship him. And in pursuit of that, one should do sacrifices. The Brahmins do the sacrifices, so therefore you should permit this. And then King Vena answered, this is all wrong. I'm the Supreme Lord. Everything is in me. All the deva is in me, so you should not do sacrifices for the Supreme Lord. you can do sacrifices, but do it for me. I'm superior, supreme. So in this way he distorted whatever they said and said that they actually were fools and they weren't stating the truth. This we can understand from Bhagavad Gita is the symptom of the asura, or the demon. In the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna devotes a whole chapter to describing the demonic people. And there he gives a very nice description of these people who reject the Lord and instead simply concentrate on their own enjoyment. And they say, I am the Lord. So this is a prime example of this, where King Vena speaks and says, actually everything is mine. Everyone should worship me, including the Brahmins. From this we can see the great difference between King Vena and the other kings. He was completely the opposite. And this of course is his philosophy is completely contradictory to the Vedas. The Brahmins and sages, they presented the authority of scripture. And King Vena prevented his concoction. He did not want to follow scripture. And he turned everything backwards and put himself in the center rather than the Supreme Lord. So in this way we see that he was completely unqualified. The sages started out by trying to reform him, by giving him good instruction. But we see that this didn't work. He completely refused their advice. So that method of sama and pacification did not work very well. So they will have to use other methods later. So this mentality that we see in Vena was not unique. We see it even in the presence of the Supreme Lord himself. When we have Krishna, then we have people like Pondraka. Of course, there are many demons who have the same mentality, but Pondraka exemplified this because he actually decided that he would imitate the Supreme Lord. So then he asked Krishna, you give me your conch shell and your chakra. They belong to me, they don't belong to you. And this way everybody laughed actually when the messenger came with that message. He sent a messenger to the Krishna, came in the assembly and said, actually, give your chakra to me, give your shankha to me. So everybody laughed when they heard that. But Pondraka was not laughing, he was serious. He considered himself superior to Krishna. So he said, I deserve the position of the Supreme Lord, and all these paraphernalia belong to me, so you give them to me. So in the, even in the presence of Krishna, people acted in this way. So, and therefore we can see that generally such persons are foolish, and they will not listen to reason at all. Ultimately, Krishna killed Pondraka. Here, of course, the sages, they tried speaking to King Vena, but it was useless, so therefore they had to kill him also. So this is the mentality of the persons in ignorance. They take everything opposite. It's also described in the chapter. Everything, and people in Tamagun is described, everything becomes opposite. The values are completely opposite to what they should be. So whatever the sattvic people think, the people in Tamagun will think exactly the opposite. And what is good becomes bad, and what is bad becomes good. So everything is topsy-turvy in their philosophy. So with such an idea, ultimately, nothing can be achieved. Everything is opposite of the truth. They do not see the truth at all. They see everything in the opposite way. So nothing can be accomplished. So in terms of the material world, these two tendencies are there. We have the daiva and the or the sura and the asura, the persons who are faithful to the Lord and those who are completely opposed to the Lord, and they're opposite, and we get opposite results. So if one follows the sura, then one has peace in the world, and people become happy. And if we follow the mnemonic tendency, then there's disturbance in the world, and everyone becomes unhappy. So as far as population is concerned, one has to follow the Asura tendency rather than the Asura tendency. Otherwise, the world will simply suffer. Now, of course, as I mentioned, ultimately, if the world is suffering or not suffering, that again is not ultimate, because this is a material world, and no matter how happy we are, still there has to be suffering somewhere. Not only in this planet, but upper planets and far below also. So the devatas get attacked by the demons also. So they also have some insecurity. And even in Brahmaloka, which is far above that, still that planet is also destroyed. So ultimately, there is no real happiness in the material world. So the real objective is to get beyond the material world, and happiness and unhappiness in the material world are both considered to be obstacles. So in that sense, by performance of bhakti, we surpass everything, and in this way come to a solution. Because people in general cannot accept that, therefore bhakti is incorporated within varnashram. So they get the happiness in the material world, plus they have to worship the Supreme Lord. So in this way, some compromise is made for such people. But as Bhagavatam says, ultimately, the process should be bhakti, and everything else is rejected as secondary. Well, he gets punished, so I suppose it stops the sinful activity, and whatever sins he's done, he doesn't have to suffer so much for those sins because he's punished, just as the king punishes the criminal, then he does not have to suffer those particular karmas. But at the same time, sometimes the crime is more than the execution. So, for instance, in the state sometimes, they say that they give a sentence, the person gets a sentence of 500 years. The person's not going to live that long, longer than his lifespan. So the same way, though he may be executed, that does not exempt him from some crimes. Because if he killed 20 people and he's exempted from one crime, then he has to die 20 times. So actually he's not really exempted by that one punishment of the state. So sometimes that punishment always, that doesn't fulfill or doesn't cover all of his crimes. So they, of course, by killing him, yes, it stops his sin in some sense, it stops, but maybe not completely, because he did so many bad things.
How can people argue that, just because murder is hanged or killed, doesn't mean that the person who has died will come back to the negative. And the murder will be killing somebody, and the state punishes the murder for death punishment. But just because punishing by death,
well, the main thing behind that is to stop crime and to get rid of the people who are criminals so they won't commit more crime. I think that's the idea. You keep them in jail to stop them from committing more crime and harassing people and creating disturbance in society. Or you just kill them off if you don't want to have the expense of maintaining them for the whole of their life, whatever. Of course, they take that as some sort of punishment also. For instance, the Muslims, if you steal, then they cut off your hand. And the Bible also, the same rule is there. In many societies, it's like that. So for different crimes, they have different punishments, which is supposed to be like a retribution for the crime, and also a deterrent so you don't do it again. So in the Vedic way, yes, it was meant as some sort of counteracting your karmas or whatever like that. That was the main purpose.
You may say some criminals not in the jail if they change their lifestyle. Once spending 3 years in the jail, you can be a completely different person and come out back to the city.
Yeah. Sometimes it happens. They let them out because they've reformed. So that is what's the proper use of the jail, that actually it reforms somebody. But that doesn't always work, because some people, they just commit more crimes when they come out again, and they go back to jail. In fact, they like it more in jail than they like it outside the material world, because they don't have to work. So that it becomes comfortable for them in jail, so they go out and commit a crime, so they go back to jail again also. That's also there. So, various things are there. So, hash doesn't always work.
The same thing works good for the souls also. They come back to the material world just to have some kind of sense pleasures, ignoring the association with the Lord. Just like the criminals go back to the jail.
Yep, they may not learn. So they get the karma, they come back again, and they do more karma, and then they get punished again. So again, if you commit crimes, you go back to jail again. And that will continue and continue and continue until you do something different.
Yeah, sometimes that person should be hanged. If he's not hanged, then he has to suffer in the next life.
Yeah, he'll get some Yamaraja's punishment, whatever.
So if he hangs, then the person is ready to come back. The person should be hanged. If he's not, then he's free from
that particular crime. The karma is not affected.
But what are others? You committed so many things like this, but only one time he hangs.
Well, if he's done many crimes, then of course maybe he has to get the karma for the other ones also. So, by killing him, you get the one karma finish, but he still has the other ones to deal with. So it may not always completely erase his karma.
Somebody's murdered or killed. Maybe then his karma to be killed by
the person. No, we can never say that. That's not the karma to get killed. That excuse can be used, and you can do anything you want in the material world, but it's just the karma from suffer, therefore I'll make this person suffer. Huh? But that excuse can never be used as a human being.
In the spiritual sense, it can be that, because why everybody is not being killed, only that person is being killed. But his past karma has been so bad that they killed an accident or
that may be, but at the same time, it's not your karma to kill him. That's your choice. Your choice is not ruled by karma.
According to the laws of nature, when somebody is repeatedly doing some sin, they are punished more, because they are knowingly doing the sin. But in the material nature, we don't find that. A person who is repeatedly doing, even though he knows that he will be punished and it is wrong, he is not punished heavily as this. He is given the same sort of punishment.
By who?
By the government. Just as the first time criminal is punished. Even a person who is
No, generally they have different types of punishment for different ones. It's not that everybody gets the same punishment. They get the different, according to the, if it's an accidental crime, they don't get the same, you know, they run over somebody accident, they may get punished, but if they purposely run over somebody with a car, then they get more punishment. So it's not, the criminal law is there, and it has variations also, according to, so some person may get 1 year in jail, one that gets 20 years in jail for the same crime, because of his intention.
Thank you.